Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture from Acts 11, 1 through 18, what Dart said. Now the apostles and the brothers and sisters who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life."
Thank you so much, Hope. During the month of May, our readings come from the book of Acts, inviting us to revisit the early formative days of the life of the church. How did this small band of Jesus followers, who staggered and stumbled through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, eventually become a movement that spread like wildfire to the ends of the earth? Our reading for today contains the watershed moment, the pivotal point on which the long-term viability of the Jesus movement hinged. It was so significant because up until this point, the movement was a subset of Judaism, and Jewish followers of Jesus were trying to figure out what to do with non-Jews who were drawn to the movement. There were clear guidelines about how to be Jewish in the world and strict rules about the interactions between Jews and non-Jews. So in those early days, there was a general expectation that if non-Jews wanted to join this Jesus movement, they would essentially have to become Jewish first. They would need circumcision. They would need to follow the dietary laws, all the things that set a Jewish person apart as being Jewish. The path to Jesus' fellowship was in and through Judaism. But today we hear the story that really changed up everything. We get a sense that this is a significant story, not only because of the length of the account, but also because it's repeated in Scripture several times. The event itself happens in chapter 10, just prior to our reading for today. Peter had this vision with a sheet of animals, and here's God's commandment to eat and kill them. Peter objected, reminding God that Peter would never eat anything that was forbidden or unclean. There was some back and forth between God and Peter, and then three men arrived on Peter's doorstep. The Spirit told Peter to go with them, so he did. He, along with six others, went to the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, or in other words, a non-Jew. As Peter spoke to them, the Spirit came to this Gentile household in the same way that it had come to Peter and his friends. So Peter baptized them and then stayed there, gladly receiving their hospitality for several days. So our passage for today isn't this original account in chapter 10, but it's Peter retelling the whole story in great detail after he returned home to Jerusalem. And I just have to wonder if all the way home, Peter was thinking to himself, wow, I am going to get some flack for this. Because sure enough, flack he got. We're told in our passage for today that the circumcised believers in Jerusalem criticized Peter, saying, why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? And it's not surprising at all that they started here, focusing on this aspect of Jewishness that kept them very tightly knit together as Jews. Because in their world, Peter had done an egregious thing. To receive hospitality from a Gentile, to enter their home, to sit down at their table and eat with them was to defile oneself and, in essence, to offer them full acceptance and inclusion. And while it might be tempting to judge these circumcised believers in Jerusalem as narrow-minded or small-hearted, it's important to remember that Israel, over centuries, had suffered under Gentile persecution. The way Israel survived, continued to be Israel, was to band together in their uniqueness. God gave them all these special rules and guidelines to follow, and all of that made them and kept them distinct from other communities around them. Their survival over the years was dependent upon their being different. So no wonder the idea of Peter sitting down at a table with Gentiles, eating food that was considered unclean, set off a cacophony of alarm bells in the hearts and minds of the circumcised believers. They were worried, probably frightened. They must have felt as if everything they knew about who they were and what they were all about was being threatened. And Peter, confronted by agitated members of his own community, responded, I think, in just the right way. Peter said, I'm going to tell you what happened step by step. And that's why we hear the whole story again right on the heels of it just being told in chapter 10. And what Peter made clear in this retelling of the story is that Peter didn't choose or instigate any of this. God did. Peter pointed again and again to this being the work not of human minds or hands, but of God. God gave Peter this vision, and it was God's voice who told him that anything God made should not be called unclean. It was then the Holy Spirit that directed Peter to go to Caesarea with the three men. And it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Cornelius and his household as Peter was preaching. Peter came to the end of his story about all that God had instigated and said, if God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed, who was I that I could hinder God? This has to be one of my favorite Bible passages. Who was I that I could hinder God? I didn't do any of this. God did. How could I get in God's way? And our passage says that Peter's critics were silent. In other words, they listened. And then they rejoiced. And with that, something monumental shifted. Something changed. The Jesus movement gained traction as the circle was pushed not by human effort, but by God a whole lot wider. And because I cherish that notion of people coming together, of the circle becoming wider and wider, I love this particular passage. But I'll admit that I also struggle with what exactly this means for us here today. Even though our circumstances are very different than they were in that day and age, division is still rife among us. In fact, it seems worse in a whole bunch of more complex ways. That's true in our larger world and culture, and it's very true in the general church. Our own United Methodist denomination is perhaps the institution to most recently demonstrate that fact in a public way. On May 1st, just a few weeks ago, what's now known as the Global Methodist Church was established. The GMC, as it's known, is a newly formed Wesleyan denomination created to be a landing pad for conservative churches seeking to leave the United Methodist Church in anticipation of changes that will finally make the United Methodist Church in the U.S. LGBTQIA+, inclusive and affirming. In a long line of splits and splinters in our denomination, all history, all around who is in and who is out, this is the latest. Now, this is a little bit tricky for us, because many of us here at PBUMC have likely found ourselves as members of the LGBTQ+ community or as allies, the folks who have felt on the outside more often than not. We've felt like the people being excluded rather than the ones intentionally or unintentionally doing the excluding. And because of that, this congregation has been purposeful about creating an inclusive faith community for LGBTQ+ folks and anyone else. So it's a little bit tempting to read this passage and say, yeah, that's right. Listen up, people. You all out there in those other churches need to be more inclusive, just like us. And as I sat with this text this week, I thought about two different things. One is that we do have experience and knowledge and insight about LGBTQ inclusion, affirmation, and celebration in this faith community. But it's not enough to simply create a safe, affirming space here within our walls. There are churches in our own denomination, some very near to us, who haven't been able to get to the place of having a reconciling group within their church, much less become a reconciling congregation. And at this critical time in our denomination, maybe they need some help. Help like us, real people, flesh and blood, with meaningful stories to share about life and faith from our perspective and out of our experience. And the other thing I thought about this week was a little more challenging, even. And that is that, of course, we still have more work to do here, within our congregation, within our own hearts and spirits, when it comes to making the circle wider. We always will. I came across a quote this week that I liked. It talks about how this scripture passage could and should disturb us. And it says that the disturbance is that God's love is always more inclusive than we can easily deal with. So whatever our comfort zone is, God's idea about inclusivity will push us beyond that. We need to not forget the work that this congregation has done to draw the circle wider. And I hope we can step up and out to our district, our conference, to do what we can to help other churches become wholeheartedly reconciling. I think of that as intentionally putting ourselves in God's way, a way of peace and justice, reconciliation, and true inclusion. And we also need to check and recheck ourselves, our lives, our church, in order to be aware of where and how we might be hindering the work of the Spirit. Because God's version of inclusivity will always challenge us. We need to make sure we get out of God's way when the Spirit seeks to do new things within and among us. How do we do that? In this time that is so rife with division, when so many of us, including myself, are inclined to defensive vitriol as our first response around matters that we care about, how do we get in and out of God's way all at the same time? How do we embrace an ever-expanding notion of inclusivity, an inclusivity that embraces people very much like me and also very different from me? Well, we might take our cue from Peter, I think, and start by remembering the power of telling a story. Peter, interestingly enough, didn't react to all the prickly agitation he walked into upon his return to Jerusalem. No, he simply said, "Let me tell you the story. Let me tell you what happened, step by step." And there's a deep wisdom in that one piece of our scripture passage alone, because we know that hearts and minds aren't expanded through argument. Believe you me, I've tried. It doesn't work. Hearts and minds are expanded through relationship, through the sharing of real human stories, stories like yours. stories like mine. Hearts and minds are expanded when people listen, when all of us listen, like Peter's contemporaries who were silent and heard and then received and rejoiced. And it also might help us to remember those famous words of Gracie Allen, if you've ever heard them. Don't put a period where God has placed a comma. If we ever start feeling like we've got a handle on God, who God is, what God is doing, and what God wants from us and from everyone around us, we should seek help immediately. Because God is not static. God is a living God, always doing a new thing, a beautiful, expansive, new thing that pushes the boundaries, extending the circle of grace and love and belonging wider and still wider and wider still. And who are we to hinder God? May we be humble and courageous enough to get in and out of God's way in all the right ways, in ways that lead to light and life for us, for others, for the whole world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the beauty and promise of this day. We thank you for this gathering of friends, new and old, as we come together to sing your praise and to tune our hearts and lives to the rhythm of your amazing grace. We give thanks for the joyful occasions of our lives, for opportunities to pause, to mark sacred moments along the journey, and to say thank you for it all. Some of us today celebrate milestone anniversaries, while others of us celebrate graduations after much hard work. Add our blessing to these sweet moments, that our cherished friends might feel the light of our love that comes alongside them in these precious times. Because we are one body, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. We mark the somber moment this week of having now lost 1 million people in the United States to COVID-19. We lift up our rage and grief and anguish related to the hate-fueled shooting in Buffalo. We pray for those wounded and traumatized, for the families of those killed. We cry out against the ongoing racial bigotry and violence in our world. In the days and weeks and months ahead, guide our prayers into meaningful action on individual and communal levels. Empower us in your name to work against racism and war, against all that threatens, disregards, or diminishes life. We pray this day and every day, O God, that you would help us to understand what making the circle wider on your behalf means to us in our here and now. Push us beyond our comfort zone as we seek an ever gracious and expanding circle of inclusivity. Keep us mindful that there is no one beyond the reaches of your love and care, and likewise no part of ourselves, our identities or life experiences, that falls outside of that love and care either. Help us to be the church in meaningful and life-changing ways in this community and in this day and age. Push and nudge us again and again to ground our lives in the love we have received in and through you, that we might extend that love without hesitation to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.